right, grab your Bible. Let me get hooked up here. Okay, grab your Bible. Turn with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And it's a blessing to be here this evening. Enjoyed the meeting this afternoon, and enjoy the tent meeting. Been in several this summer, and gives a kind of a different atmosphere. We're preaching the same things, singing the same things, but just kind of has a different feel to it, I guess. And so I hope you come to get something from God. Amen. And appreciate the pastor asking for us to pray there. Too many times I heard a fella say one time, he said, nobody expects an answer to a Sunday morning prayer. And a lot of times, our Sunday morning prayers during the service and stuff, we're not praying to the Lord, we're just speaking to the crowd. And so I appreciate just some time to actually ask God for His blessing, ask God to meet with us, and we want to be a blessing to Him. Amen. The psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul. And so we want to be a blessing to Him also. And so, I appreciate you being here. Thank God for each of you. Pray that that we get something from God, and that that we can be a blessing to Him. Take a look in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, and notice, if you will, there in verse 1. It says, and he arose from thence, and cometh into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan, and the people resort unto him again, and as he was wont, he taught them again. I want you to notice that phrase, as he was wont. I'm going to preach a little different than I maybe usually do, in the fact that most of the time I have a textual message, just go through a text and try to get what we can out of it. But today I want to more do a topical sermon. And sometimes I just want to brag about Jesus Christ. And I preach all the counsel of God, and I've preached from every book in the Bible except for one, and I'm trying to work on that if God will give me something. But I've preached from Genesis to Revelation there, and you'll never get it all, but I'm certainly going to try as long as the Lord has me here. But the thing is that sometimes I like a very simple faith. And I got saved when I was 9. And, there were times in my childhood we didn't know anything. We were in churches that didn't really teach us much. And you got us away from John 3:16. We just kind of lost in the Bible there, didn't know much of anything. But I'll tell you this, we knew we were saved, amen? And we were very happy to be saved. And sometimes you get all kinds of different things in your head. Every time you turn around, the brethren are in a fight over something, saying, well, you got to choose sides and all this. And sometimes I just like to go back to that simple faith. I just believe what God said. That's it. And just thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see here in this verse, it says that as he was wont, as he usually did, this is just what Jesus Christ did. He just taught the people. And if you say, well, what did Christ do? He taught the people. That's just him. That's what he did. And I got to thinking about some other things about Jesus Christ, just what he does. And there's a song. It's in your hymnal in the church. I saw it, and I don't know if y'all sing it or not. It's called "It's Just Like His Great Love." Do y'all sing that song? That's become one of my favorite songs. The first verse says, a friend I have called Jesus, whose love is strong and true, and never fails, howe'er 'tis tried, no matter what I do. I've sinned against this love of his, but when I knelt to pray, confessing all my guilt to him, the sin cloud rolled away. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like his great love. The third verse kind of fascinates me. says, when sorrow's clouds o'ertake me and break upon my head, when life seems worse than useless and I were better dead. You know, you got to be pretty low to write a song like that. And I were better dead. I haven't felt that way too many times. There's been a lot of times I felt I'd be better off if they were dead, but not me. And, I were better dead. I thought, man, that fella hit bottom there. And, but he goes on to say, if I can find my place here, and I were better dead. I take my grief to Jesus then, nor do I go in vain, for heavenly hope he gives that cheers like sunshine after rain. I mean, you get to thinking about that verse. I mean, he says, look, there's all kinds of things that go wrong in this life. There's all kinds of things that just fall apart. I mean, we just feel like all hell breaks loose on us sometimes. I mean, that's even biblical. There in Revelation chapter 9, says the mouth of the bottomless pit opened up and everybody crawled out. Man, it seems like they crawled out in Galena sometimes. I mean, I get to looking at some of that stuff and you think, God, what's going to happen next? And then about that time, it's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like His great love. I want to preach this evening for a few moments on it's just like Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father of heaven, we come to you just asking for your mercy and your grace. God, I beg and plead that you touch our hearts and begin with mine. And Father, I pray that we might just brag about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us forget everybody else for a while. Let us forget all the junk of this life. And let us think about the mercy and the grace of God. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. I pray, God, that you touch our hearts and lives. Bless us, Father. Bless the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want you to see a couple things about it being just like Jesus. And I got to thinking, what are some of the things about Jesus Christ? Well, the first one here, it's just like Jesus to look for sinners. All right, take a look, if you will, in Luke chapter 19. We're going to jump around a bit this evening. Luke chapter 19. And notice, if you will, in verse 10, Luke 19, there in verse 10, he says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." You know, that's the accusation they had against our Savior. They said, well, in Luke chapter 15, verse 2, they said he's a friend of publicans and sinners. They said he eats with these publicans and these sinners. And you know what? That's who he came to seek. I mean, think about the songs that we sing in church. And that first song we sang they changed the words in some of the hymnals, it's sinners such as I. But the thing says, and such a worm as I. Now think about this for a moment. We've got together on a Tuesday evening, and it's hot out. I mean, I'm sweating, you're sweating, we all just kind of hope your right guard hangs in there. And it's hot out there, you know, there's a whole lot of other things we could be doing on a Tuesday evening besides sweating under a tent and having a pin-whiskered little hillbilly screaming at you, amen? But the fact is that we all gather together and then we sing songs like, "Such a Worm as I." And then we actually enjoy it. I mean, can you imagine? No wonder the world thinks we're nuts. And you know, you say, well, why would you get all excited about that? Because the fact is if we're sinners, that means the Lord came to look for us. Amen? That means if we're sinners, if we finally get it through our head that we are sinners deserving of hell, that also means that the Good Shepherd came looking for us. Amen? That's a blessing. We ought to realize, listen, He didn't come to save the self-righteous. He didn't come to save those that have no need of Him. He said, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." I had a fellow tell me one time, he said, well, Christianity is just a crutch for those that just can't handle the world. Amen. I'll agree with that. Amen. I'm guilty. I mean, I can't handle this world. The world comes with its temptations and its garbage, and every time you turn around, there's something else bombarding you. I can't handle that stuff. They say, well, you know, it's Christianity's just for these people that have this idea there's a ferocious devil out there. True. I mean, the Bible says that he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He said in the book of Job, lay thy hand upon him one time, remember the battle, and do no more. These folks are casting out devils and doing all their charlatan stuff. Let me tell you something. If you ever met the devil, you'd never want to do it again. He said, lay thy hand upon him, remember the battle, and do no more. The accusation against Jesus Christ was that he was a friend of publicans and sinners. Thank God I'm a sinner, and I can claim Jesus Christ as a friend. Amen? It's actually an accusation against themselves. You know why they got so mad about Jesus Christ being a friend of publicans and sinners? Because they were supposed to be, and they wouldn't do it. I mean, that story about the Good Samaritan there was a slap in their face because the Levite wouldn't help him and the Pharisee, the other fellow wouldn't help him, and nobody else wanted to help him. And the thing is it was a conviction against them. They were supposed to be those friends, but they wouldn't do it. Jesus Christ did. I mentioned this morning that I didn't quite understand. I just answered my own question. I don't understand why someone says, "Well, I don't believe this King James Bible." Okay, I mean, I'll talk to you about it and all, but I'm not going to get upset with you. I figure it's your problem. You're going to answer to God. Amen. Somebody asked me one time. They said, "Shouldn't you pray about if that Bible's right or not?" I said, "What am I going to pray? God, did you lie?" I mean, what am I going to pray? God's the one who said He preserved His Word, amen? And I don't have to pray about that. Folks say, well, I'm going to pray about tithing. Why? God said, just do it, amen? You know, there's some things you don't have to pray about. And believing this book is one of them. I don't have to pray about that thing. But you know, the funny thing is how many of them get mad at me? I mean, I say I believe the book, I believe this King James Bible, the one I hold in my hand, and they say, well, you're just an idiot, and I don't know why you have to do that. And you can see it in their face, they get livid, they get mad. Why? Because they know they're supposed to. That's why. Do you ever have somebody get mad at you just because you're doing right? I mean, they get mad because you won't go out and ruin your family like they do. They get mad because you won't go out and burn your brain cells on drugs or liquor like they do. What are they getting mad for? I mean, it's not like we're holding guns at their head saying that they can't do whatever they want to do. What are they mad at us for? It's because they know they're supposed to be doing these things. They're supposed to be living right. They're supposed to be Bible believers. And the thing is they've made religion just an elitist club amongst themselves. I mean, it's no longer Jesus Christ seeking to save sinners. Now it's just this bunch of elite religionists that everybody's patting each other on the back. Let me tell you something. I went to school with fellas that couldn't get through Greek or Hebrew without the grace of a professor there who passed them with a D-minus-minus just because they showed up and he wasn't going to fail them for that. And now somehow along the way they got a doctorate for something, and that's fine. I'm not against them. Got one myself. But the thing is, man, don't take it too serious, okay? And you say, what are we? We're just a bunch of dumb thumps. That's what we are. Amen, preacher. Thank you. I mean, hey, let me tell you something. Didn't God say, you see your calling, brethren? Not many wise. You know where I'm going. Not many noble. Well, that's why God called us. We're stupid. Didn't get one amen out of that either, did I? That's good preaching, brother. Thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, the fact is, folks, we just got to listen. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. We need to understand where we came from. Listen, you ever forget the hell God saved you out of, you are absolutely useless to God. And we need to understand all feet are made of clay and all flesh is grass. Granted, some of it's a little weedier than others, but it's still all grass. And the point is that is that, you know, they say, well, we're the upper crust. It's still dirt. In Kentucky, we didn't have much bottom land there. We had, it was mountain, railroad track, creek, road, house, and then another mountain. And so we didn't have much bottom land there. But they built a town there, and town we were outside of, Waitsburg there. And Waitsburg had two sections of it. It had the upper bottom, that's where the rich folks lived. And it had the lower bottom, that's where the poor folks lived. And if you ask somebody where you live, they just really love to tell you, we live in the upper bottom. I got so tired of hearing about the upper bottom, I finally sat one of them down and I said, you realize you're still on the bottom. I mean, well, we're the upper bottom. You're the upper of the bottom. I mean, it's still the bottom. I was like, we're the upper crust. You realize crust is dirt? I don't care if you're on the top of the dirt or the bottom of the dirt. You're still an animated dirt ball, amen? I mean, that is what God made us out of, amen? Pulled Adam out of the dust of the ground, put some animation in him. We are animated dirt balls. And next time you see one of them beauty queens and they're just, you know, Miss whoever else, I mean, you can just take the little banner off, rewrite it, and say Miss Worm Food. I mean, that's what's going to happen to her. Say why? Because that's where you're going. And the point is that we need to understand it's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. Thank God if you can admit that you're a sinner, because that means there's a Savior looking for you. Amen? I mean, it's a blessing to be sought after. It's a blessing to know that the God of creation, the one who spoke and the world came into existence, that He became a baby and was born of a virgin and lived a sinless life. He was crucified and buried, rose again the third day, and now He's seeking for me. Amen? I mean, all the stars of the world, all the people on this earth, everything going on. Listen, if you will admit that you're a sinner, that Savior is seeking for you. Amen? Whee! You ought to just thank God that you are a sinner. I mean, the thing is it's just like Jesus. He looks for sinners. Amen? Any sinners? Jesus Christ looking for you. Not only that, I want to say that it's just like Jesus to lift the saints. Take a look in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And notice, if you will, verse 30. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 30. It says, but when they saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. This is Peter. He's out walking on the water. It says, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You know, sometimes the saints, we can be very bold. I mean, there's times that we can step out and say, man, I can do this. And man, you get around, did you ever get around some of the saints and man, you get pumped up listening to them? I have. I mean, we go down to a camp meeting in North Carolina there. And Brother Lackey's camp meeting there. And I'd listen to a few of those preachers, and man, it just, you get so pumped up, you think, oh man, I could ride across hell on a tricycle and whoop a devil with a snowball. I mean, man, I'd do anything, and I get all charged up, and then you get around some of the brethren, and you think, oh man, we are not gonna last another day. I had to write several of those Christian newsletters and all that stuff, and tell them, you know, take me off your mailing list. I get stuff in the mail, and every bush had a government spy just looking to see what our church was doing. Every time a helicopter fly over, we'd look, see if it was black, if they were spying on us. They had satellites on us, and they're making concentration camps out in Wyoming that are all set up to put Christians in. And Janet Reno had all of our names down, and just on and on and on and on, until I just thought, man, we're not going to last another day. I mean, they'll put you in misery, some of them will. Yeah, granted, the devil's got a plot against us. I'm not stupid, I know that. But he always has. And I still have a Savior, amen? I still have a Shepherd, amen? And the fact is that our Savior, it's just like Jesus, just to lift up the saints. I mean, we can be bold at times. And just like Peter there in verse 25, 26, 27, 28, Jesus comes walking on the water, everybody's scared to death. But Peter says, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water." The Lord says, "Hey, come on out of here." So Peter steps off. Now, I'm not going to, but Peter steps off there. And the thing is, you say, "Yeah, but Peter sank." But Peter was one of the only ones to get out of the boat. Amen. There's only two men ever walked on water. Peter was one of them. Jesus was the other. And the thing is they can all point at Peter's sinking and saying, "Well, he didn't have." Hey, he had more faith than them. They didn't even get out of the boat. But the thing is, folks, is sometimes the saints can be very weak. And the Lord asked him, he says, "Wherefore didst thou doubt?" You know, wherefore didst thou doubt? You know, the fact is even the best of saints, they have moments of weakness. Even the very best of saints have moments when they just kind of fall apart. Faith, the definition of faith, I've preached it here before, the definition of faith is believing what God said. It's not just believing. You can believe all kinds. Everybody believes something. It's not just believing God's able. Most of us believe God's able to do anything. But faith is believing what God said. See, that's the difference. If you read Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "By faith we know the worlds were framed by the Word of God." By believing what God said. Genesis chapter 1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." By faith, Noah built an ark. God told him, "Noah, you need to build an ark because this is what's going to happen." By faith, Abraham offered up his son because God said, "Abraham, I want you to take Isaac, your only son, and take him up on the mount." I mean, each one of those men, by faith, by believing what God said. That's the definition of faith. Now think about that for a moment. Because in Hebrews chapter 12, the chapter right after the faith chapter, in Hebrews chapter 12, he says, "Now, seeing we're compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight of sin and the sin that doth so easily beset us." Now, we all have sins that we struggle with, every one of us. And sometimes it's easy to pick somebody's sin out. Sometimes it's not so easy. But each of us has sins that we struggle with. Maybe nobody else does, but we struggle with it. And the thing is we say that's our besetting sin. No, there's one sin that we all struggle with. He said, "And the sin which does so easily beset us." That sin's doubt. Every one of us doubts God at times. You ever worry? Ever been worried about anything? Yeah. Well, you doubted God. Didn't He say, "My God shall supply all your need"? Yeah. Amen. Do you ever say, "Well, God, I don't know what's going to happen next, and God, I just feel like, you know, I'm getting kind of depressed here." And didn't God say, "Comfort one another with these words"? The Lord's coming back. I mean, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he went through that whole thing about the rapture. Didn't he say, "Comfort one another with these words"? I mean, we talk to folks and we give them all kinds of advice and try to pump them up and pep them up and everything else. And God said, "Comfort them with these words. Tell them about the rapture, that the Lord's coming back." I mean, all of us doubt the things of God at times. John the Baptist did. The Bible said that there was none greater. Matthew 11, 11. There's none greater among born of women than John the Baptist. And yet when John's thrown in jail, he sends two of his disciples and says, "Go ask him, make sure he's the one." Say why? The best of us doubt. You say, what do you do? It's just like Jesus to lift up the saints. It's just like Jesus. When in times of our doubt, in times of just not knowing, in times of getting depressed, in times of tragedy and all the rest, in times of sinking, I mean, listen, the Lord could have just stood there like a lot of folks, and Peter's sinking, and the Lord says, anybody out there need some help? Peter raises his hand, and he says, I see that hand, just turns away and walks off. I mean, the Lord could have very easily said, you dummy, what are you out here for if you didn't believe me? I read over there in the book of Mark, and the Bible says Matthew 11, I believe it is. Let me find it here. Yeah, Matthew 11, there in verse 30. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, the thing is that the Lord tells us, He says, hey, I'll help you with this thing. He could have very easily just let Peter sink and rebuked him and all the rest, but He didn't. He says, here, let me help you out. It's just like Jesus. It's just like Jesus, just to lift up the saints. That song says, and if I were better dead, you got to be pretty low to write something like that. Yet it's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. Just like Jesus to keep me day by day. Let me tell you something. It's a blessing to realize Jesus Christ shares the burden. It's a blessing to realize that we're never left alone to bear it. That we're never, whatever happens in this life, it still beats going to hell, doesn't it? I've talked to some folks that have gone through some real tragedies. And the fact is, it still beats going to hell. You say, well, preacher, we've gone through this and we've gone through this. And listen, I don't always understand it. And I don't know why God allows everything He allows. I don't understand why things happen in this life. I don't always have an answer for all that. But I'll tell you this, it still beats going to hell. And the worst that this world's got to offer to us, the worst that this world's got to throw at us, our God said that He would still see us through. He'd never leave us nor forsake us. And it still beats going to hell. Thing is it's just like Jesus to look for sinners. It's just like Jesus to lift up the saints. And then last of all, it's just like Jesus to love the stupid. Now, that might not have been the best way to put that. But you know, it's just like Jesus, just to love the stupid. You ever done anything just really stupid? Am I the only one? I mean, honestly, every time I try to sing a hymn in a sermon, I always forget the tune. It's amazing. I did it today. And I just forget the tune. I just make one up. I figure hopefully they'll think it's the Greek or something. But I was at a church one time. I was in Bible college. I sang in the college ensemble before they figured out I couldn't sing. And so I was in Bible college. We traveling. My wife, she wasn't my wife at the time. But we sang together and stuff. And anyway, I came back home and, I was, kind of a little celebrity of the church. They're a real tiny church. And I'd gone off to Bible college. Nobody else ever done that before. And so they just thought, hey, Stevie's back. And he went off Bible college. So I stand there and the preacher got done preaching. He said, now we're going to do the invitation different. He said, we're going to have Steve come up and he's going to sing Amazing Grace without music. And I said, okay. And so I got up there and I started singing Amazing Grace. I forgot the tune to Amazing Grace. Can you believe that? I mean, I've sung Amazing Grace since I was knee-high to a duck and I couldn't figure out the tune to it. So I made one up. Three verses. I'm not really musically inclined. And you know, the thing is, and what really got me, I mean, I was sweating bullets and I was in tears and everything else, thinking, God, you just made, I was praying the whole time, God, help me remember a tune, please, God. He gave me the tune on the fourth verse. But you know what? A fellow walked down the aisle and got saved. And it was just like the Lord saying, see, you idiot, people can get saved even if you're stupid. I wish that was the last time I did something stupid. I mean, I About 3 years ago, we were going through some trouble, about 4 years ago, going through some trouble with the church, and so I resigned the church. And you know, that's kind of a stupid thing to do. Obviously, I didn't leave. I'm still there, and the Lord blessed us, and things going extremely well. But I did something stupid. I resigned the church. I thought it was hopeless. Couldn't find anything else out, and so I just resigned the church. I found out today from Pastor Fidena's sermon. I could have said I resigned. I didn't resign. I just resigned and signed back up for another tour of duty. But the thing is that when we do stupid things, sometimes we sit back and we say, "Oh God, what is the purpose? I mean, why am I doing this? I just make a mess one after the other. Nothing I do seems to work out. God, what in the world's going on?" Well, it's just like Jesus to love the stupid. Amen. I read in John chapter 8, verse 33. Those folks arguing with Jesus Christ, the Pharisees, they said we be born of Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. Hey, stupid! You're a slave of Rome while you're saying that. What do you mean you've never been in bondage to any man? The Pharisees, they were slaves of Rome when they said it. That was stupid. But God loved them anyway. When he hung on Calvary's cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He loved the stupid. He loved them when they made stupid arguments. He loved them when they made stupid actions. I read in Mark chapter 8 that those folks all followed the Lord into the wilderness. And the Lord told his disciples, he said, "We need to feed them because they didn't bring any food with them." Now, I don't know about you, and I've mentioned it in other sermons, but the thing is it's kind of stupid to take your family out in the wilderness and you have no food or water for them. I mean, they were so far out that the Lord said they'll faint in the way on the way back. We got to do something for them. That's a kind of a stupid thing to do. You know what the Lord did? He fed them. I mean, very easily, if he'd been one of us, he'd have sat back, had his meeting with his deacons and all, and said, "Can you believe how stupid these people are?" But instead, he just solved the problem. Say, why? It's just like Jesus to love the stupid. I mean, he loved them when they had stupid actions. And what a blessing just to be loved by God. I mean, I know we're supposed to be the elite. We're the Bible believers. We got it right. Nobody else does. Blah, 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 blah. Right? That's why you put half a dozen preachers behind a locked door. Wait about a half hour, there'll be blood coming out the door there. I mean, aren't we a loving bunch? We've got it all right. But the fact is we just do some stupid things. The best preachers you know do some stupid things. I tell our folks, our church folks and visitors, I say, look, if you're looking for a reason to quit church, you're looking for an excuse, hang around for a couple weeks. I'll give you one. I mean, I'm sure I'll do something stupid. I told this joke in church, and it was about these... That was stupid. But I'm not going to say it again. But the thing is I didn't mean to be offensive. It just came out. Folks said, "Well, you probably shouldn't have said that." Listen, I've said things from the pulpit that I would blush to repeat now. I started preaching when I was 15, and folks say, "Did you save any of your sermons?" I didn't save the ones from last year, much less 30 some years ago. I mean, I don't want to hear them. Folks say, "Well, don't you listen to your own sermons?" No, I get tired of all the the thing is, isn't it a blessing just know God loved you? You ever done anything stupid? Well, isn't it a blessing you can be loved by God? Amen? You say, why? It's just like Jesus to love the stupid. He lifts up the saints, and he loves the sinners. You can argue about a lot of things. There's always a doctrine that the brethren want to fight over. There's always an issue. If it's not a Bible issue, it's who you like and what camp you're in. And there's always something. But sometimes we just need to get back to the simplicity of what God said. And it's just like Jesus to look for a sinner. Are you a sinner? Jesus Christ looking for you. You say, well, I'm just waiting on God to tell me. You don't have to wait on anything. He's already told you. It's just like Jesus. You depressed? You a Christian? Just down and fretting over something? Let me tell you something. You need to get alone with the Savior again. You need to get that fellowship with Jesus Christ again so that granted, counseling is fine and there's all kinds of help out there and that's what God gave us for. But I'm telling you, more than anything else, you need to get with the one who lifts up the saints. And you ever just get sick of yourself because you did something stupid? Well, lift up your head. God loves you anyway. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like His great love. Do you know that love? Father of heaven, would You touch our hearts and our lives as only You can. In Jesus' name we pray. Preacher.
Might be you feel the need to come to the altar. We want to give you that opportunity. Let's stand together.